Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, soon to be Liberty State, brought to you by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right, and it's about wrong. It's about our hope being not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And it's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. About Ephesians 2:5 through 6, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, here is an important corollary to that. If you believe that, if you believe that's really real and true, if we're abiding in Christ, Christ is abiding in us, we should be absolutely unafraid of calling to account the liars and the slanderers, those who use implication and innuendo and invective. We should be completely unafraid of calling them out for who they are. Completely unafraid. It's important to understand this from the standpoint of freedom. The media today thinks it is the arbiter of truth, thinks that it is the access of free speech, and it is not the point of access of free speech. The people are, especially through the internet. That's why the internet is so important, because we don't have large printing presses, which were generally uncommon back in the Founding Fathers era, that can be seized and stopped, not just the printing of newspapers, but also printing of pamphlets and books. Everybody has a printer in their home today. Everybody has access to the internet. Now, social media is beginning to crack down. And on this show, several years ago, I talked about this, that they would eventually have to come for the internet because this is all about free speech. So when we talk about, for example, the Public Records Act, it's not about the media. It's about transparency for the people. It's also about protecting whistleblowers who are exposing corruption in government agencies. And the media, though, seems to take the position that it's all about them. It's not. It's about the people, especially that we represent, and us as we the people. So today, I'm going to go down a very serious exposing the left, exposing the media. Over the weekend, I called the media to account. And I want everybody to understand that it's now time to call the media to account. And I want to read the exact quote, okay? But first, I want to start with the Founding Fathers, okay? So that you guys, you understand this is not just coming from me, okay? This comes from Fisher Ames, review of the pamphlet on the state of the British Constitution, 1807. Okay, one of the key founding fathers, guy that wrote the First Amendment, okay? Understand who Fisher Ames is. All right. Quote, "We are heart and soul friends to the freedom of the press. It is, however, the prostituted companion of liberty. And somehow or other, we know not how, it's an efficient auxiliary. It follows the substance like its shade. But while a man walks erect, he may observe that his shadow is almost always in the dirt. It corrupts. It deceives. It inflames. It is a precious pest and a necessary mischief. And there would be no liberty without it." Fisher Ames is talking about freedom of speech. I mean, this is, again, it's a guy that wrote the First Amendment, okay? He's talking about freedom of speech, but he's also talking about holding accountable the press when it descends into the dirt and it corrupts, it deceives, and it inflames. So, with that in mind, I want to make sure that we understand the context of what I said over the weekend. All right. Here's the quote from my speech. Now, it's interesting. Understand who this is directed at, and then I'm going to caveat this. Okay, so quote. Now, I want to end with this. A lot of people in the media, some people even here today, have come out publicly and try to smear other people, try to tell in the media that certain individuals are not who they say they are, try to smear them without any facts, try to put innuendo and implication into their articles and into their editorials. And I want to tell you something about that. We can't become the dirty, godless, hateful people. We have to uphold free speech no matter what. And by the way, the antidote for that slander and defamation is always truth, isn't it? That was what I said over the weekend. Now, it's interesting that I got a rash of reporters. Now, common folks have been emailing me saying, thanks, Matt, for holding them accountable. But I got a rash of reporters that tried to call and say, you're talking about all media. But you notice that's not what I said. And so even in my calling them to account, they have to take it out of context. And interestingly enough, by saying that it offended them, they're actually self-identifying as the people who are using lies, slander, smearing, implication, and innuendo. So, some people said, Matt, why would you say that? Well, I'm gonna start with this, okay? Sean Vestal of the Spokesman Review. But first, I'm gonna stop there. I'm gonna leave that name hanging out there, okay? At the national level, over 300 media outlets tried to slam our president all at the same time. Do you not think that's proof of collusion? I mean, it's conclusive proof. They then talk about this phony Russian collusion thing, all the while ignoring an even bigger issue with a Chinese mole in Dianne Feinstein's office. And we're going to get to that here in the briefing. But this is why people are getting so upset with the media and why the media is losing so much credibility in general. Now, there's great media outlets out there, Radio Free Readout, Readout News, Huckleberry Press, many others. There's also many that are not and that are using these tactics and techniques as part of an agenda. So I'm going to go through some of the things that they have done and just call it out for what it is. Okay. Sean Vestal, okay, tries to paint me in a brush in many of his articles as a domestic terrorist. Okay. Now he uses implication. He'll say things like he was around them or he's in the middle of it or no one loves a boiling point like Shea. That's an actual quote out of one article, right? Uses the term giving aid and succor essentially to what he considers domestic terrorists. Okay. Now, the people he's talking about were acquitted by a jury of their peers. Okay. Then a case was thrown out against them in Nevada. Not on a technicality, but because the government was withholding exculpatory evidence and the judge said they can't possibly have a fair trial. So it was actually the government that was on the wrong side, was acting in a bad manner. And he doesn't ever mention that. But then if you dig into Sean Vestal's background, you find that he's listed as a donor on the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane page, the same Peace Justice and Action League that brought in 2015 as keynote speaker Judith LeBlanc, a leader in the Communist Party USA, an organization that is still listed under Washington state law as a subversive organization. But it gets even more interesting. He shared the stage with the Council of American Islamic Relations, which was found in the Holy Land Foundation trial as a matter of fact and law to be part of a member of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood's Palestinian Committee, which was also that was upheld on appeal, by the way. The Muslim Brotherhood, by all accounts across the world, is known as a terrorist organization. Okay, so what this is an example of is projection. Okay, now I want to move to the next one. KXLY, back in 2016, my opponent back then. Okay, this is my political opponent, writes a concern letter. And then is interviewed on KXLY because I had dinner at a Mexican restaurant, okay, with veterans, some of whom were members of Oath Keepers. Okay, now here's what they tried to say, all right? And by the way, Oath Keepers is dedicated to, quote, defending the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, so help us God, end quote. In other words, the oath, okay, that most of us took in the military, okay? All right. They tried to say, somebody comes into the restaurant, okay, and this is supposedly all happenstance, right? And takes this grainy picture from down below and it's all black and white and nefarious looking. And then they say this, okay? The woman, quote, didn't hear all the conversations, but said she heard enough that it concerned her and she thought maybe these guys were planning some kind of attack, end quote. Okay, nothing ever came of that. Why? Because there wasn't anything. Everybody at the table was talking about veterans' issues, including how to help homeless veterans and how to continue veteran outreach. But they tried to spin this thing into, again, this implication of domestic terror. And this comes from the Southern Poverty Law Center. And if you go look up the Southern Poverty Law Center and just type in Matt Shea, okay, you will see the Southern Poverty Law Center considers it hate to be pro-life, pro-gun, anti-Muslim brotherhood, so anti-terror, okay? And, oh, by the way, if you're a veteran and you believe the Constitution means what it says, that might be hate too. So all of this stuff is implication and innuendo. What Mark Herr calls, rightfully so, label lynching, because what it does is they're attempting to destroy people and their reputations. And oh, by the way, none of that stuff that KXLY talked about was true. Let's talk also about what just happened. Molly Tibbetts, okay? So Molly Tibbetts, this is a huge story if you haven't heard about it nationally. This young girl in Iowa went missing, okay? And I was on the Lars Larson show earlier today. And Lars made me aware of this, and so I'm going to share it with you. Okay, they found her body, unfortunately, so she is deceased, and apparently made an arrest in the case. The person arrested is here in the United States illegally. Do you think you're going to hear that last little portion of it? No, and that's my point. We need to hold the media accountable for intentionally leaving out facts. I'm going to give you a couple other examples. Back in 2016, I introduced a bill, okay? Here's the quote from KXLY.com, and you'll notice this, how they do this, okay? Shea proposes bill allowing firearms in stadiums, okay? As if they weren't allowed already, when in fact, RCW 9.41.302B, very specifically allows concealed carry of firearms in stadiums. What we were doing is trying to hold the stadiums accountable who were contracting that away, which we believed was in violation of the preemption statute in Washington state law. But the way they paint it was, oh, Shea's allowing firearms in stadiums. Well, they were already allowed. These guys weren't following the law. And you see how that little missing fact is why I think you can properly categorize them as deceptive. Let me give you another example. This was recently in the media. So, the grandson of an apparent actual Nazi, and apparently admits this, okay, is brought on a local radio talk show, okay, and he says Matt Shea goes up to the God and Country Celebration, and the people that put the God and Country Celebration on, those are white nationalists secretly. And therefore, Matt Shea is right in the middle of it. Now, you notice he never calls me that directly. But what he does is, by implication and innuendo, tries to smear me. Okay, so a couple things not mentioned. First of all, the guy making this claim, John Smith, is a vanquished political foe who's clearly still bitter about the loss to Senator Brian Danzel. Number two, okay, fails to mention, and this would have been very easy to research. Your due diligence would have been really simple, okay? Really simple to figure out. But the fact that they didn't do the due diligence is what's important here, because it's going to get to another thing with the Socialist Review here in a second. It would have been really easy to figure out the leadership structure of the Marble Country Fellowship and who lives on Marble. Very, very, very easy to find that out, and who the friends and family members are, the people they're talking about, right? So they fail to mention that the widower of a Samoan is one of the pastors and leaders at Marble. That two black pastors, actually one is a reverend, live on Marble, and one of those is part of Marble's leadership. And three members of a federally recognized Indian tribe also live there, one of whom is on leadership. That's a key fact, because to try to smear Marble as white nationalist, that doesn't wash when all those people are there, right? It doesn't make sense. And this is what the socialists do. And so you have the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has tentacles up there in Northeast Washington through many different people. Upper Columbia Human Rights, James Gordon Perkins. Okay. And this is the same James Gordon Perkins who the Spokesman Review allowed to publish an editorial saying that I had endorsed against Kathy McMorris Rodgers, even though when that was an outright lie, and they never sent an email. Never. Now, you got to ask yourself some questions. Why? Because it wasn't the first time. A few years ago, Diana Wilhite tried to allege that I had endorsed against Kathy McMorris Rodgers when I had not. And they printed that one. Again, not sending an email asking, did you endorse? And oh, by the way, in this latest round, my campaign manager had reached out on this issue. But they act like they don't ever receive any of this stuff. And it's interesting because it was the same reaction when I called Sean Vestal out about him being on the donor page of PJALS, Peace Justice Action League of Spokane. He sent me a message, and I screenshotted it, that said, you don't care about the truth. And I sent him back the screenshot of him being listed as a donor. And he never refuted it. Right? So they lie, and then they double down on their lie, and then they try to project onto everybody else. So I was really happy to get on Lars Larson today and talk about this stuff. Because what we're seeing is, in effect, de facto censorship advocated and perpetrated by the media. You know, some of the media folks advocating that Alex Jones be taken off the air, right? And all the social media companies start taking Alex Jones off the air. Folks, that's scary stuff, okay? And the only antidote to that, as I said before, is truth. And we've got to spread the message out there. We have got to spread the message out there. And I don't think I need to go into any further with the Southern Poverty Law Center. But we've got to hold these people accountable. And one of the people that wrote that one of those initial articles is one of the ones that tweeted out the following. It says this: media and the left are responsible for defending tyranny, calls the media, including the journalists here today, dirty, godless, hateful people. But in the context of what I said, that's not, it was just directed at the people who are using slander and lies and implication and innuendo. And they can't even get that right. Folks, it is time to become the media. It is time to switch over on social media to platforms that we know are not going to shut people down so that we can continue to get our message out. Our message is one of hope as Christians. Our message is one of confidence because we have the right to bear arms. Our message is one of strength because our strength is in Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid when these people start attacking, because they're fairly easy to expose for who they really are. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, Venezuela, 1,000,000% inflation, remove the zeros. That talk about not being covered in the media, right? Because, you know, when socialism fails, it can't be socialism, right? Anyway. All right, on the international front as well, U.S. relations with Turkey sour, specifically on religious liberty. Turkey holding a summit with Russia and some other countries. China is involved there. Again, Turkey is the one to watch. Okay, I mentioned also about Hungary and the anti-communist Christians in Poland and Italy and elsewhere in Eastern Europe kind of banding together. Folks, you know, here in the United States, we just need to band together. And while we need to be understanding of those on the left, we also need to be bold and unashamed that whatever truth we're talking about truth, meaning reality as God sees it. Knowledge, meaning truth, understood and accepted by the human mind. And wisdom, being truth rightly applied. And we got to be the same on our definitions, because that's what's going to make the difference. All right, I talked about Molly Tibbetts already. Also, the West Virginia Supreme Court, most of them were impeached, and I think one resigned. And anyway, just the whole court essentially removed in West Virginia. So it can be done. It's always a question of political will. Also, on the national front, I talked about the Chinese mole and Dianne Feinstein's office. An unbelievable story, actually. This is the real deal, right? And why aren't we talking about that? Because Dianne Feinstein, you know, was very high up in Democrat leadership, had access, presumably, to national secrets. I mean, there's a big question mark over that. Also on the national front, the Muslim Brotherhood. So this training camp down in New Mexico, very clearly linked now and accused of training kids to shoot up schools. Then there was this Canadian sermon calling on Allah to kill individuals one by one up in Canada. And then the CNN reporter who says any criticism of Islam is hate. And it's so funny what they do. They try, my opponent actually tried to do this over the weekend too. They try to conflate and say, you're against all Muslims. The Muslim Brotherhood, radical Islamic terrorists, yes. And they always try to conflate that. It's interesting. Also on the national front, Antifa violence, several threats to the president of the United States. Then Antifa hits a military recruiting station as well. I mean, why aren't we talking about that? I mean, you know, How about the Brave New World lab-grown meat? It's disgusting, actually. You know, I think that there needs to be some requirements in regards to, actually, I should say incentives, not requirements, incentives in regards to labeling to protect our cattle ranchers. I mean, that's disgusting stuff. Also on the regional front, the Bundys have sued now for $60 million. Also, interestingly enough, down in Las Vegas, no ATF inspection was allowed of the weapons during the Vegas shooting. Very interesting. That brings us now to the local front. I've already gone through this kind of manufactured hate locally. I want to talk very quickly about taking a deep breath of radical environmentalism. So you go outside right now, it's smoky. Why is it happening? Well, it's happening because we aren't managing our forests. The question isn't whether fires are going to happen. The question is how destructive and catastrophic are those fires? And if we don't manage our forests, we don't put in roads to allow access and fire breaks, we don't reduce the fuel load, you're going to have catastrophic fires. In other words, the forest itself is going to burn to the ground instead of the fire burning through. Now, I've seen this down in Oregon where there are forests down there that the fire just burns through instead of burning up the trees because it's slow moving through all that fuel. I think it's an important conversation to have. People are saying this is a result of climate change. First of all, that's not settled. But secondly, so what? What are we doing to make it better? What are we doing to try to mitigate the risk and problem that we have right now? That's the question. You know, they always claim, you know, global warming, you know, ocean levels are rising, you know, and then they want to build seawalls. What are you doing regarding the forests then? I think it's a fair question. You know, I think it's important too to start asking media questions. If you see a reporter, go on Facebook Live and start asking them questions. Like this. Do you support forest management? Yes or no? Did you vote for Hillary Clinton? Yes or no? Start getting those folks on the record. You know, they have been not held accountable for a long time. And it's on issues like this where they gloss over the plans in regards to forest management. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about what we introduced as bills last year on that. They don't, and they should. And it's like the Public Records Act. You know, the media thinks it's all about them. It's not about the media. It's about transparency for the people. And oh, by the way, we had a bill that did that and protected whistleblowers at the same time. That's where I come from. Why do we protect whistleblowers? Because they expose agency corruption. Why didn't they mention that? So these are all things, you know, as we talk about all these things, you that are listening to this show out there right now can do this too. Start asking them questions. Start, you know, spreading around the Radio Free Readout interview with Doug Taft from Marble, completely destroying the leftist narrative. And then start asking Sean Vestal about him, his associations himself. And that's what's going to keep freedom. That's what's going to keep free speech. Lastly, on the local front, August 25th, Quality Inn in Clarkston, Washington. We're going to be doing another 51st State presentation. Look forward to that. Have some new information we're going to be sharing there, too, from none other than the New York Times. In fact, did an interview with the Rolling Stone over the weekend on the 51st State. Now, we filmed the entire thing, so if they try to write it as a slant, we have the whole interview and you can watch it. Okay, it's up on Readout News right now. And lastly, September 14th through 15th at the Clayton Fairgrounds, not Colville, Clayton Fairgrounds, a taste of what's to come. Reverend Matthew Cummings putting that event together. Kind of a fun event. Going to be food. I think Reba McEntire's sister is going to be there. So check that out as well, and that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Be bold and courageous. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US for now and like the page. Share it with your friends and family. And remember, this is a listener-supported show. You can go to VoteShea.com. Help keep us on the air. And if you want to help me expose the media for what they're doing, we need money to do it. It's just the way it is. We need money to do it. So go to VoteShea.com. Lastly, Patriot Radio is on iTunes and Podbean. And thank you to everybody for listening. It's my pleasure today to introduce Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch. He's the author of several books, but I kind of like the bent on your books, and I want you to actually talk about them a little bit. Robert, thanks very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
Well, and actually, before we get to that, MasterCard seems to have a problem with you. Are you getting censored as well in a kind of a backhanded way?
Yeah, I had set up a Patreon account. Patreon is a place where people who like your work can support it, and I had come into possession of an old TV studio that I thought I'd fix up and do Jihad Watch videos from, but Patreon canceled my account. They said MasterCard made us cancel your account, and they wouldn't explain why. And then MasterCard said, you have illegal content on your website, which surprised me, and I don't have any illegal content on the website. So I am in talking to attorneys now, and this is where we are. It's all part of the ongoing efforts to silence anyone who dissents from the leftist agenda so that they don't influence the 2018 elections and the left wins, runs the table, you know?
Yeah, maybe it was because you advertised your New York Times bestsellers, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and The Truth About Muhammad. Maybe that's what got him upset. I don't know.
I don't know. Those have been around for a while.
I just called the media out myself here in Washington State over the weekend because it's getting so ridiculous. They clearly have an agenda. It's clearly collusion. What is your reaction to how the media covers, especially the threat of radical Islam here in the United States of America?
Well, they cover it by covering it up. The media reports on jihad terror activity always leave out or ignore or downplay or deny outright the jihad motivation. And so people get the wrong idea about what is going on, what it's all about. One of the most notorious examples, actually, was just recently. There was a man in San Francisco who was a non-Muslim who had become a Marine, and he was a Marine for a while. And then he left the Marines, and he converted to Islam, and he ultimately got involved in a plot for a jihad massacre in San Francisco at a very busy time of year. And the local papers, in covering it, they said, ex-Marine charged in terror plot. Now, he didn't do the terror plot because he was a Marine. He did the terror plot because he was a Muslim. But that's off limits. They don't talk about that.
They don't talk about that. And let's shift gears a little bit to the New Mexico compound. It was interesting how the wording in some of the mainstream media outlets was pretty much soft-pedaling it when it was very clear that it was a terror compound. It was very clear there was training going on there. And, you know, it seems this blows the myth out of the water that there is no such thing as a terror training compound here in the United States of America.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the reasons why it didn't get a whole lot of coverage. And there was very little mention of the fact that these people were jihadis. They were stockpiling weapons. They had what the police there locally called Muslim extremist material. And it was very clear they were trying to train children to be school shooters. And so this was a jihad training camp. But because there is no jihad as far as the mainstream media is concerned, it's all just Islamophobia and anti-Muslim racism and so on, even though Islam is not a race, this meant that the coverage had to be skewed in a tremendously misleading way, so that most people don't have any idea that this was anything but a child abuse case.
Yeah, and it's very clearly not. How do you think it's connected to the Muslim Brotherhood? What's your analysis of that situation?
Well, I'll tell you, Siraj ibn Wahaj is the name of the man who was running the camp. And his father Siraj Wahaj, is the most prominent and respected imam in the United States today. He's been featured as a speaker by all the major Muslim organizations in the U.S., all of which do have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. So does the Sun have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood as well? That we don't know. That has not been established either way. But it does seem likely that the father taught the son Islam and taught him how to understand it. And so that raises some questions about what kind of Islam he's been teaching when he goes all around to speak at these Islamic advocacy groups all around the country. And they need to be questioned about that. But of course they won't be, because that would be Islamophobic.
Right, and I want to talk a little bit about that. I made the Dirty Dozen legislators list of the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, and one of the big things that they have against me is that I talk about radical Islamic terror. You've been smeared in a very similar way. Tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, I'm on their anti-Muslim extremists list, and that word extremists, that's a very, very dangerous word for them to have chosen, because, of course, the Obama administration and the Trump administration, too, because it hasn't reformed this as much as it should have, they refer to jihad terrorists as extremists. And so what the Southern Poverty Law Center is implying is that I'm just like a terrorist on the other side. And that, of course, endangers me and endangers the people around me. And they have so much influence, even though they've been exposed as a hard left hate group that smears respectable and legitimate conservative groups and individuals by lumping them in with the likes of the KKK and neo-Nazis. This group still has so much legitimacy in the eyes of the establishment media and in the eyes of the social media giants. I've just been deplatformed by both Patreon, MasterCard, and GoFundMe. And this is, of course, it's not just me, but other people as well who dissent from the leftist agenda. And behind all this is the SPLC.
And, you know, it's interesting that it's the same story virtually every time, where they try to associate you with white supremacy, they try to associate you with the KKK, they try to associate with those groups, but they never really come too direct in calling you that. They just try to associate you with it. And, you know, I think we're getting to a very concerning place in our country where, A, that's happening, that kind of demonization is occurring, and then on top of that, the deplatforming and what essentially is censorship of the internet in many respects is occurring as well.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right. These associations are just that. They're not really anything factual. Just today, there's this big hit piece on me in the Daily Beast, and it talks about how I was deplatformed by Patreon and MasterCard. But it speaks all about white supremacists and neo-Nazis and how the Southern Poverty Law Center is working to get white supremacists and neo-Nazis not able to do anything anywhere, you know? And that has nothing to do with me. I'm neither one. But by association, because they talk about this so much in the article, they give the impression that I am. And, of course, that's what they want to do.
Well, let's talk about your latest book, The History of Jihad, From Muhammad to ISIS. There's a lot of listeners out there that kind of understand Islam. They've read John Guandolo and some of those things and understanding the threat. What would you say is the most important thing people should know from your book that really connects what was happening 1,000 years ago to what's happening today?
Well, the main thing is that the ideology is the same, that the reason why Osama bin Laden and the 19 hijackers took down the Twin Towers on 9/11 is the same reason why Muslims invaded Spain in the 8th century and why there has been jihad warfare throughout history. People don't realize. They think that Islamic terrorism is something new because we didn't hear about it in the 70s and the 80s, and now it's such a part of daily life. But in reality, this is something that has always been in history, and there was just a bit of a decline in it in the early part of the 20th century because of the weakness of the Islamic world. And that gave many people the idea that when it became resurgent, it was therefore something that was new. But what I show in the book is that wherever there have been Muslims for 1,400 years, there have been jihadis, and there's always been conflict between Muslims and non-Muslims. And that conflict, we are not going to escape. It's going to be here as well, because the ideology hasn't changed. It hasn't been reformed. It hasn't been rejected. Hasn't been reconsidered. Obviously, not all Muslims believe it, but enough do to cause significant conflict, as we're already seeing in Europe.
And we are seeing conflict in Europe. Do you really think that's going to come here to the United States, or do you think it's already here?
Well, it is already here, but to a smaller degree. I mean, we have had these jihad attacks, the Boston Marathon, Fort Hood, Chattanooga, Little Rock, San Bernardino, many others. A lot of them probably that people don't know about. And that's just going to continue because obviously, well, I'll tell you, there's nothing being done to stop it. The mosques, for example, the Islamic groups in the United States condemn every terror attack after it happens. But what we don't see is them actually doing something to prevent the next one. There is not a single mosque in the United States right now that has any program to teach Muslims why they should reject the understanding of Islam that's taught by Al-Qaeda and Hamas. And that's a very, very serious omission.
I think it's a very serious omission. And one of the things that's interesting to me is these are always portrayed as so-called lone wolf attacks. What's your view on that?
Well, they're not lone wolf attacks. These attacks are ideologically inspired. For example, the Islamic State, ISIS, in 2014, they called on Muslims in the West to mount lone wolf attacks, to use guns if they didn't have a gun, to use a knife. They didn't have a knife, use a car as a weapon, and various other things they enumerated, attack innocent civilians on the streets in the countries of Western Europe and North America. And Muslims have done this. And every time they do this, we hear, oh, this guy was mentally ill. This guy has nothing to do with terrorism. Because what they mean by that is that they looked at his phone, and he doesn't have any calls to Iraq or Syria. And he doesn't have an ISIS membership card in his wallet. And so they think, oh, he's got nothing to do with terrorism. When in reality, he could easily have seen that ISIS call to mount lone wolf attacks and heeded it, obeyed it.
Right. And it seems like that is completely it's just completely missed and not talked about.
Yeah.
Why do you think there is a lot of covering for the Council of American Islamic Relations, North American Islamic Trust, and some of these other organizations that were very clearly linked to the Muslim Brotherhood as a matter of fact in law in the Holy Land Foundation trial?
Well, the establishment media, they obviously are on the same side. And we know now that they're essentially propaganda outfits for the hard left. And so it shouldn't come as any surprise that they would grant legitimacy to groups such as CARE and ISNA and ICNA that are indeed linked to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood. And so they act as if these are neutral civil rights organizations that are trustworthy arbiters of what is Muslim, what is anti-Muslim or Islamophobic or these silly terms that they use, when in reality these are advocacy groups that are that have opposed every counter-terror measure wherever they have been proposed or implemented, and that in doing so have weakened our ability to deal with the terror threat. They've also smeared and defamed the people who are standing up and speaking honestly about the terror threat. And that's one of the reasons why all this deplatforming and so on is going on now. For years, it was CARE, and pretty much CARE only, that was saying that it was racist and bigoted to oppose jihad terrorism. People would have laughed at that in 2001. But now everybody takes it for granted.
Yeah, everybody takes it for granted. And let's talk a little bit about what you think people should be doing, or what should be the policy changes in both the United States Congress, but also in the state legislatures to really address what is becoming, at least I believe, a very serious issue with this infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States of America.
Well, what we need to do is call upon these American Muslim groups and compel these American Muslim groups, actually, to institute these programs that teach against this understanding of Islam. and all the aspects of Islam that are at variance with American constitutional principles, and reconfigure also our international alliances so that we're not in these sham alliances anymore with jihad-promoting states, most notably Turkey, Pakistan, and most notoriously of all, Saudi Arabia. Now, the difficulty with that, of course, is that we have extensive business contacts with Saudi Arabia. But this is one of the things where if people understood what I'm saying in this book, then they would see that these kinds of alliances of convenience are never ultimately beneficial to the non-Muslim side. And the sooner we get independent energy independence, the better off we'll be.
I completely agree. We actually have that opportunity to become energy independent if we have the political will for it. Let's talk briefly about Saudi Arabia. There recently has been this supposed turn away from, radical jihadist terror, and funding of it in Saudi Arabia. Is that notional, do you think, or is it legitimate?
Well, there is. They did fund. The Saudis spent billions to fund Wahhabism around the world. And Wahhabism is a very virulent and violent form of Islam. This is incontrovertible that they did this. And so nowadays, of course, we have Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and he says he's modernizing. At the same time, the Saudis are being quite repressive. They just executed a human rights activist. They have arrested some other women's rights activists who were calling for women to be able to drive, even though now they're allowing women to drive. They arrested all the people who were asking for it. And so it's a very strange situation. I don't think that the Saudis have proven themselves to be trustworthy allies of the United States because of the fact that they still are committed to Wahhabi Islam, and all the changes they've made thus far are essentially cosmetic.
Let's talk about Turkey as well. I mean, what's their angle? Obviously, they have they're increasingly close ties with the Russians. There is tremendous amounts of money, hundreds of millions of dollars coming into Turkey from China. I mean, what's their angle there?
Well, the Turks have had a secular government for about 100 years, but now they are very quickly re-Islamizing. And Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey, has made it very clear that he believes in Islam, believes in political Islam, wants an Islamic government, and he's working to dismantle Turkish secularism. And so Turkey, as it becomes less secular, becomes more belligerent on the world stage. Erdogan has actually laid claim to the lands that were once part of the Ottoman Empire. And so he's essentially putting Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa on notice, as if they have to fear a Turkish invasion. I don't think that's going to come to pass, but his belligerence and his arrogance are not a very good sign. Also, of course, he's refusing all the entreaties from the United States, from President Trump, to free this pastor, Andrew Brunson, who's been held on false charges for several years now. And that's a very clear indication that Turkey is not really an ally of the United States. And this being the case, we should stop pretending that it is, and we'd be better off strengthening our alliances with countries such as India that are facing the same jihad that we are.
I have had a lot of people say, I'm just a normal, average, everyday American, Matt. What do I do, to fight back against this stuff or educate my neighbors? How would you answer that question? And also, kind of as a follow-up question to that, what would be your message to young people who think this is just all about hating Muslims?
Well, this is the propaganda that's being pumped at them all the time, that to oppose jihad terror and Sharia oppression of women and others is hate. But really think about who's really being oppressed here. I mean, innocent people are killed. Women are having to live lives where it's acceptable to beat them. And there's honor killing, of course, and female genital mutilation, stonings, amputations, all these things. And standing up against that is hate? If you think about it logically, the hate is actually all on the other side. And the problem is, of course, young people, for the most part, do not think about things logically.
So where can they go to find out more information about you, maybe get your books as well?
Yeah, I have a website, jihadwatch.org, which is updated many times daily with news and commentary about jihad activity that you won't find anywhere else. And the book, The History of Jihad, it's at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and at any self-respecting bookstore.
Last question, as far as that's concerned, a lot of folks say, but what about the Crusades? The Christians were worse. How do you respond to that narrative that kind of Christianity has started all this, or even more interestingly, that Israel has somehow started all this?
Well, this is one of the reasons why I wrote the book. Shows that jihad has been around far longer than the State of Israel and far longer than the Crusades. The Crusades were a very late and small-scale defensive action, reaction to 450 years of jihad warfare that had conquered, before any crusade was ever contemplated, over half of what had been the Christian world. And this idea that the crusade started it all is only, it could only be said by people who don't know about this history and don't realize that the jihad had been so active in the centuries before the crusades. And the crusades never even attempted to win back 99% of the territory that had been won by the jihadis.
And it's as simple as that. It was all defensive, especially I find it interesting and intriguing that the Siege of Vienna and all the countries that were involved in the Siege of Vienna, Jan Sobieski, the famous Polish king, and then also the Northern Italians, the Czech Republic, Hungary, etc., all those kind of countries are coming back together again. If you do briefly, what's your comment on that?
Well, they have a historical memory. They know what happened. They were occupied by the Ottoman Empire for centuries. They don't want it to happen again. It's Poland wasn't, but Poland was involved in the wars. It was the Polish king who stopped the siege, the Ottoman siege at the gates of Vienna on September 11th, 1683, the high water mark of jihad expansion into Europe up to that time. And so they know. They know what they're dealing with in a way that our leaders in the West, they don't.
Completely agree. One last time, if you could plug your website.
Jihadwatch.org.
Jihadwatch.org. Robert Spencer, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio. Really appreciate everything you're doing. If I can ever be of help to you, please let me know and love to have you back on again.
Great. Call me anytime.
All right. And if you get a chance, I'm going to post this article up on Patriot Radio. SPLC Color of Change played a role in smearing Robert Spencer as a white supremacist for MasterCard blacklisting. You got to read this because it's the same tactics. We're seeing it again. At national level, now at local level, it is the same pattern. You know, it's interesting, when I studied Soviet doctrine, what I found was that they would follow almost exactly the same pattern in their battle groups, etc., and it became very predictable. This is the same thing. It's very predictable what they do. And one of the listeners sent a really cool words. I want to read this to you. See if I can pronounce it right. Okay, you ready? Faux catenation, falsely connecting a person or organization to another for the purpose of causing damage. That's what we're experiencing right now. Faux catenation. I'm sure the liberals listening probably don't even know what that means yet. I didn't until now, but you can go look it up. Faux catenation. We are now against vehemently faux catenation. I want to highlight one last thing as we end the show, and that is, if you get the chance, go listen. Well, it looks like the listener, that he made that up. All right, so it's now a word, faux catenation. Okay, there you go. Bang, that's how it happens. But if you get a chance, go check out Christian Patriots Label Lynched as White Supremacist When the Research Really Shows Something Different, Radio Free Readout interview with Pastor Doug Taft. I think it's probably one of the most important radio interviews that you will hear and read. Make sure you go check it out and share it. It is really important that we get this out far and wide. And I don't know how else to say it. This is the only way we're going to be able to get truth out, is through our own networks of people. All right. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say it's actually crucial to the survival of free speech that we do this. Okay. Absolutely crucial to the survival of free speech. And I'm kind of sad, actually, that things have gone to where it's at this point. But, and we talked about it 3 years ago, so it's not like it's a surprise. But it's something we're going to have to deal with. And for now, we're going to be using Facebook. We've got that other alternate platform coming up. And I'm going to invite everybody that's my friends on Facebook to join that, because sooner or later they're going to try to shut down Patriot Radio. Sooner or later they're going to try to shut down your Facebook. And we need to be prepared for when that day comes. And if you don't think that's possible, it's already happening. And just having Robert Spencer on today, you know, where MasterCard essentially blacklists him. No due process, by the way. Okay? No due process. But his fundraising platform, Patreon, has to be shut down because they're pressured by MasterCard. They want to deprive us of the ability to create wealth to fight them. Understand, that's one of the big things behind the Agenda 21 property rights movement, now Agenda 2030, anti-property rights movement. That's what's behind it. Depriving us of the ability to create wealth so we can fight them. And we need to think about it now. And folks, if you want, Washington State is in danger right now of losing seats in the House of Representatives. If you want an income tax, you want a vehicle miles traveled tax, you want a head tax, you want a carbon tax, you want more gun control, you want more public funding of abortion, don't vote and say, my vote doesn't count. It absolutely does count. And now it's time for all of us to stand up. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.